Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
You don't have to turn to this. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight." Right, so there's some clear commands there that you are not to trust in your own understanding, but you're to trust in the Lord. Now, what we've been discovering in these last few days is, first of all, that God has put us in Christ, and therefore everything that is Christ's is ours. Whatever He has becomes ours because God has put us in Him. Then on Sunday, we talked about Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us. And as we all spoke those words of confession over our lives, it is very apparent that we have the total life of God in us. So we have everything that is Christ's. We have within us everything of the Holy Spirit. So that is a life, potentially, of total victory. The trouble is not the life we have. Your only problem is you. That's why Jesus took you to the cross. So, right, we'll put the problem to death. Then there'll be some possibility of victory. Now, He put your old life to death, and you know that your life apart from Christ is the flesh. So we have died to the flesh. The flesh hasn't died. You still have a flesh life, but that is no longer the spirit that controls your life. You have died to the flesh. You still have a self-life, you still have a soul, or you would not be a living person. So over here on this side is your soul life, your natural life, your self-life. And we'll say that on this side is your life in Christ, your life in the Spirit, where the Spirit fills you with every good thing, as we saw on Sunday. So, the question is, which one of these two is going to be expressed in the way you live day by day? The self-life or your life in Christ? The self-life or the life of the Holy Spirit who lives within you? Now, Jesus said, in your self-life, there dwells nothing good. So there's nothing good on this side. Your own understanding, therefore, is not good. Hello? Your reasoning powers are not good. Unless, of course, they are influenced by the truth of who you are in Christ and what you have because the Spirit lives in you. So over here, there's nothing good. Over here, there's nothing bad. Because everything in Christ is good, and everything that the Holy Spirit has put into you and will work in you will be good. He will never work anything bad in you. He wouldn't know how to do that. Because He is intrinsically good, because He is God, and no one is good except God alone. So you have the goodness of God within you, as you confessed on Sunday. So we can either live in the weakness and the failure of the self-life, or we can live in the total victory perfection, fullness of the life of Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what are we going to do? We're going to give up living over here so that we can live over here as completely as possible. Does that sound like a good idea? Now, that means if you give up, you give yourself up, you deny yourself and give yourself up to Christ to live the Jesus life in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he's given you the Holy Spirit. The scripture says, whoever claims to live in Christ must walk as Jesus did. How could you walk as Jesus did unless you had his Spirit in you? So God has put his Spirit in you to enable you to walk as Jesus did. That means that you can reflect his personality, his character. That means you can do the things that he did, and even greater things still. So you can heal the sick and raise the dead and perform miracles and all of that stuff. You can manifest the life and the power of the kingdom. Because you are able to walk as Jesus did, because you've got the Spirit within you. You don't need God to give you anything else to enable you to walk as Jesus did. If you've received the Holy Spirit, all that you need to walk as Jesus did is already there within you. So why don't more Christians walk as Jesus did? Well, perhaps they don't want to. Perhaps they want to live the way they live now. Perhaps they want to please themselves rather than to please Jesus. Of course, that wouldn't be true of anybody here. Would it? No. So, that means we have given up all our own agendas, all our own plans, anything that we would want to do with our lives, because they're not our lives anywhere, they're his life. He has purchased us with his blood. Therefore, if we have given up ourselves to Jesus, we have simply done what he commanded us to do, and that is to deny ourselves. We've denied ourselves, given ourselves over to Jesus so that he can express his life and perform his will in us and through us. Now, how do you know whether you've done that? Because it would be easy for us to say, Lord, I give you my life. In fact, no doubt you have already said that when you first became a Christian. Lord, I give you my life. So if you have given him your life, there's no problem. You don't have any problem to surrender to Jesus if you've given him your life, because you've already done that. And of course, you wouldn't give to Jesus and then take back to yourself, would you? Just like when he gives you a gift like the Holy Spirit, he doesn't take it away again. The Holy Spirit is not on loan. He is a gift. And you are not on loan to God. You have gifted yourself to God. And when you give something to somebody, you can't take it back afterwards. Say, look, I didn't intend to give that to you. Can I have it back? But that's what a lot of Christians do. They say, I give you my life, Lord. And then they say, well, I didn't really mean that. You know, Lord, I lay everything on the altar. Oh, really? Well, then I'll have that. Well, I didn't mean that, Lord. Everything else except that. Oh, well, what about this? Well, Lord, I didn't mean this either. You can have my life completely except for this and that. Okay, well, I'll have the other. Well, look, Lord, it's not very convenient at present for you to have the other. So you can have me completely except for this, that, and the other. Now, this wouldn't apply to any of you, but you see, you're going to have to minister to other people to whom it would apply. So you've got to know where others are at, so you can, with your great sanctification, know how to draw them up to your level. Right now, how do you know whether you have given yourself up, you really yielded yourself? Well, you've stopped struggling. You are no longer trying to improve yourself. You are no longer trying to solve your own problems. Why? Because if you are still trying to improve yourself, you are still the one who's working. When you have yielded yourself to God, He is the one who is working. That's why we've said God doesn't work out His purposes by change, but by exchange. He's exchanged His life for ours. If you've got your Old Testament with you, you can turn to Isaiah 61 for a moment. We all know these words very well. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, and so on. He sent me to preach good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, and so on. And then he says in verse 3, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Now watch me. He does not say, I'm going to make you more beautiful. Over here is ashes. Over here is a crown of beauty. So he says, instead of your ashes, I give you a crown of beauty. If you live the self life, then you'll live in ashes. But if you live the Christ life, then you will wear the crown of beauty. Then he says, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Over here is mourning, sorrow, sadness. But what's over here? The oil of gladness. You see, it's not, I'm going to give you a little bit of joy to make you feel more joyful. No, I give you the oil of gladness instead of. I give you a new life to replace the old life. The old life was ashes. The new life is a crown of beauty. The old life was sorrow. The new life is an oil of gladness. That's why it was the anointing of the oil of gladness that was upon Jesus that raised him above his companions. Why? Because he lived the new life. He didn't live the old life. He didn't have an old life to live, praise God. Then he says, I give you a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Over here there's despair. And rightly so, because anybody who keeps focusing on himself is going to be in despair. Anybody who tries to change himself is going to be in despair because you'll never succeed in doing it. You can be full of good intentions. I'm really going to try hard, Lord, to serve you, to please you, to overcome that sin that is always seeming to get me into failure. And the more you try, the more you fail. Why? Because the Lord has given you His righteousness instead of your striving. But so long as you are trying to improve yourself, self is still on the throne, not Christ. It's gone very quiet in here this morning. Isn't that right? He's given you a garment of praise instead of despair. You look at yourself, you look at your circumstances, you will often feel like despairing, but you look at Christ, and what have you got? You've got victory. You've got praise. You've got glory. Now, what he doesn't do is bring what is over here, over here. He does not do that. He says, no, you've got to deny that and live over here. You see, a lot of Christians live over here and they call to God. They pray, Lord, give me a bit of joy. I feel so terrible. Lord, give me a bit of victory. Lord, I don't feel as if I've got a crown. Because you see, here you live on your feelings. Here you live on the revelation of the truth. So if you're trusting on your feelings to tell you've got victory, you won't have it because you're over here. But if you believe what God says, then you're over here and you have the victory as soon as you believe. Over here you work, and over on this side Christ works by the power of his Spirit. But he won't come over here while you're working. Says, no, you've got to stop working, then I'll work. Not I, but Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Amen? Now, the devil is a liar. And the devil will tell you can't live like that. Why? You know, the devil, his biggest temptation is not to get you to sin deliberately against the Lord. The biggest temptation of Satan is just to get you to focus on yourself. Because he knows if you focus on yourself, you will sin, and you will grieve God, and you will fail, and you won't live in victory. So all he wants you to do is to focus on your ideas, your thinking, your feelings. Oh, I don't feel that the Lord is present. See, what does that mean? You don't believe he is. You don't believe he's in charge. You don't believe he's going to answer your prayer. You don't believe that you're going to be in victory in that situation. All because you listen to the liar saying, you don't feel the presence of the Lord, do you? Whereas, you see, if we're living by faith, then we say, well, the Lord is present. I am in Christ at this moment. The Holy Spirit is in me, and I don't feel a thing. But although I don't feel a thing, I am in Christ. Everything that is in Christ is mine. The Holy Spirit is in me, and everything that he is in me. And I don't feel a thing, and it doesn't matter that I don't feel a thing, because we're dealing with the truth. We're not dealing with feelings. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't feel the presence of the Lord when I pray. So what? Does that mean the Lord's only around when you feel he's present? I thought he said, lo, I am with you always. He didn't say, lo, I'm with you when you feel I'm present. So over here, we're living in the revelation of the truth. So your mentors, those who are discipling you, are not going to get you to try to improve yourself, to be a better Christian, in that sense. They're there to show you how to stop living here and to start living here. Amen? Amen? It's not a question of how much you're being changed, but how fully you have been exchanged. How much of that which God has provided is really impacting your life, instead of you trying to think that it's all about a self-improvement program. What could you do to get saved? Nothing except believe what he had done. What can you do to get victory? Nothing except believe what he has done. It's the same principle. If you can't be saved through self-effort, you can't get victory through self-effort. So, you know, when Peter and John healed the cripple at the temple gate and it caused quite a stir among the people, they said, why do you think that it's through some godliness of our own that this miracle has happened? So it's got nothing to do with us. Doesn't matter how good you are, that is not going to enable a miracle or a healing. He said, it's by the name of Jesus and the faith that comes through him that this man is healed. See, Peter was over here. He wasn't over there. Now, all during the gospel, Peter was over there. What transformed him was when he was filled with the Spirit. now he's functioning in a totally different way than anything was happening before. I mean, Peter and John, there was obviously a jealous spat going on between them in the Gospels, but here they are together healing the cripple at the temple gate. It's a new day. Because now that they've received the Spirit, they can live in Christ and they have Christ living in them. So they're not functioning in the old way, they're functioning in the new way. And that's why God's brought you here to be a student. So now you can learn to function in the new way, in the new life, as a new creation, not as the person you used to be. You've waved goodbye to the person you used to be. All the selfishness, pride, jealousy, anger, all that stuff is all over here. There's none of that stuff in Christ, and the Holy Spirit hasn't put any of that stuff into you, so you don't have to walk in any of that stuff. See, it's just which side of the line are you living? It's no use knowing that all this is over here and still living over there. Hello? So what gets you from there to there? Your surrender. Two things. Your surrender to Jesus, which you say you've already done, and your faith in Jesus, which you say you already have. That's all, just surrender and faith, which is what repentance and faith is. Repentance is surrender to God. So turning away from sin, turning away from self, and surrender to Him. So it's surrender and faith. So the cross has crossed out the eye. I mean, the cross is an eye. Crossed out. So I'm crossed out that I can live in Christ. You see, when I was praying on Sunday morning, at first I was just going to bring out all these different qualities of the Spirit, because that's obviously where I wanted the focus to be. Then the Lord told me, said, now you've got to share some of your testimony, your own weakness, and what you have seen me do with you that you never expected. Because what I want is for people to see that this is grounded in reality. This is not theory because the Bible says these things. This is what actually gets outworked in practice. So if a weak, fearful person like myself, God can transcend all that and do what He's done, then He can do that with anybody. I mean, what He does with you will be different from what He does with me, because what He does with each one of us is different. But the point is that if you focus on your weakness, if you focus on your fears, you will actually make yourself unusable. Because God can't work through fear. But God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So that new life transcends, doesn't change you, because I'm still weak and useless and all the rest in myself. Doesn't change the self-life, you just transcend the self-life. You learn not to trust in yourself, because if you trust in yourself, you will fail. That's why God still allows us to fail. Because every time we fail, it's the evidence that we're still trusting in ourselves and still not fully trusting in Him. So it does takes, you know, a little time, like the rest of your life, to learn how to trust Him in every situation so that you are victorious in every situation. You see, if they're failure, it's not Christ. It's not the Holy Spirit, because God cannot fail. So all the failure is ours. all the success is his. Therefore, none of the glory goes to us. All the glory goes to him because it's his victory, it's his success, it's his empowering, it's his life. Amen? Now, God's neat way of helping us to transition from depending on self to depending upon him is to put situations before you that are completely hopeless, that you cannot do anything about yourself except trust him. He says, right, if this one is proving stubborn in trusting me, I'll have to put in front of him or in front of her things that are so that they have to trust me. Now, who knows, that's the more difficult road than simply deciding to trust him without God having to do that. I mean, that would be a more sensible thing to do, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? But God is so determined that everyone should live the Christ life that he will put in front of us whatever it needs to get us to do that. Because he doesn't want to leave us over here wrapped up in ourselves and our own understanding and our own desires and our own emotions failing. You see, when you were born again, you received a second birth from God. You were born from above, yes? And God does not give birth to failures. So you see, if he sees any of his children living over here, he says, what are you doing over there? You're supposed to be over here. I didn't die on a cross to leave you over there. I died on a cross and put my spirit within you to enable you to live over here. It's all very simple, really, isn't it? So, we surrender ourselves to God to live the new life that he has given us. It's not try to get that life, but simply to express that life that he's put within us. So part two to Sunday's message is, right, now you've got all that stuff in you. Now you learn to trust in the Christ in you, in the Spirit within you. And the more you trust in him, the more that life will be expressed through your life. Somebody thought hallelujah, but forgot to say it. It's good, isn't it? Yes. But while you work, he can't. So you give up yourself to God. You give up trying to improve yourself, trying to be a better Christian, and God makes you what he intends you to be. You see, most times when I'm, even when I'm speaking at these big conferences and all these other kinds of things over the years, people would probably be surprised that when I stood on my feet, even with all these thousands of people there, I didn't have a clue what I was going to say. I mean, if most people, that would send them into some kind of spasm. But you see, it's simply that this is one way that by the grace of God, he has taught me to trust him, that he will speak through me. It's not for me to devise a message. Even this morning, I knew what God wanted me to say, but I'm believing him to give me the words to say it. You don't see me with a prepared text. Now, that's okay for you to do that once you trust him like that and once he's going to work through you like that. Until you're at that place, you prepare what you're going to say if God calls you to speak. Because you see, it has to come out of relationship. It has to come out of a relationship of trust, of such trust that you are not going to try to make something up as you go along, but Christ really is going to speak through you. That's the difference. And all that is about surrender, because you see, God working through my life came the night, I can remember the precise occasion, I can see it vividly in my mind, the night that I gave up preaching. The night I said to God, Lord, I cannot preach. You have to do it through me. Now, I'd already been ordained for about 5 years. So I'd been trying to preach for 5 years. And poor congregations had to sit there and listen to it. But when Christ began to speak through me, the congregation doubled, then doubled again within a few weeks. The church was full. This was before I went to Luton. And I couldn't understand why, you see. But people said, well, it's the sermons, they're different. Why were they different? Over before I was preaching, now Christ was preaching through me. That is bound to make a difference. Well, I knew it was different for me, but I didn't realize it was different for everybody else. Because I knew that I wasn't deciding what to speak, that I was just standing there and these words were coming out. And I was listening along with everybody else saying, that's interesting, I didn't know that. I've often wondered what that meant. So it was kind of interesting to preach like that, because you were learning stuff as you went along. I get a lot of my revelation while I'm preaching. You know, there was one time where just before I was preached, God said, I want you to preach on this passage. And I looked at the pastor and said, Lord, I don't understand that. He said, well, you will when you've preached on it. You see, that's the way he teaches us to trust him. Now, you'll have to trust him in other ways, because, you know, you're not necessarily called to be a preacher like I am. So it's God putting before us what is impossible for us, but becomes possible in him. So if you try to do it, it's going to be miserable. But when he does it through you, it's great. You see, I love to see students come back for the first time from the detention center in Gatwick, because they say, oh, it was great, it was wonderful. And they're all sort of full of it. Well, they've been scared out of their wits for the week before they've gone there, and they've been praying so much, surrendering themselves so much, believing God is going to use them so much, that actually it happens. But actually, he would have done just the same by a simple act of trust. You see, the reason why so many Christians struggle, I've got to do it, I've got to be better, I've got to get the victory in this, I've got to overcome this sin, I've got to meet this challenge. And if I give up, that will be total failure. And actually, that's the key to success. But you see, that's the way the flesh thinks. I've got to do it. So if I give up, that's it. I failed God. Oh God, forgive me for giving up. No. I wanted you to. Nothing to forgive. There's been times when I've been prostrate before God on this floor. There was one time I was exactly here, had a sovereign meeting with God. You know why? I gave up. Because what I find is that there's several situations where, you know, you've learned the principle, you apply it, and then very subtly, without realizing it, you've started to trust in yourself in some way. I can remember there was one particular issue some years ago I was fighting with, I was struggling with, and I couldn't get the victory. over this jolly thing, and I was praying and praying and praying about it. And I was really feeling, and, you know, cheesed off with myself, really. I was in my study one day, and I thought, right, I'm going to get the victory. And I was marching up and down. I was praying really strongly. I was bashing open the gates of heaven. I was calling down the blessing and the anointing of God. I was praying in tongues, rebuking the devil. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit said to me, be quiet and sit down. So I did. And he said, Colin, you've died. I thought, oh, of course. That was the answer. I was struggling, praying, striving, straining to get the victory. He says, you've died. What are you doing, man? You know better than that. This situation has been dogging you because you've been trying to deal with it instead of recognizing you've died and I'm the one who gives you the victory. That was the end of the matter. I got victory that day. But you see, we tend to be like that. And we think all this, we think we're doing a good job. Come on. I'm praying strong. And God says, shut up and just trust me to give you the victory. God's told me to shut up. Hasn't he ever told you to shut up? But he doesn't do it in a rude way, because love is not rude. He just says, Colin, shut up. I mean, it's just very simple like that. It's gentle, it's nice. Just shut up and listen to me. Praise God. So you have the victory on the inside of you because you've got Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. It doesn't matter what the situation is. You know, I heard one of these atheists on the radio once, and he said, oh, I hear Christians saying that Jesus Christ is the answer. And he said, but as far as I'm concerned, they don't even know what the question is. And I said to the radio, "said it doesn't matter what the question is, he is still the answer." I don't know if the guy heard me, but I said it straight into the speaker of the radio. So I stood on the truth against the lies of the enemy. So we're a blessed people. Failure is not on the agenda. Fear is not on the agenda. I mean, it'll be there in the natural, just like there's many situations where I'm naturally fearful. But you don't listen to your fears, you listen to your faith. You don't trust in yourself, you trust in Him. And He gives you the victory. I'm going to have a wonderful time with the second years now, because they're learning that in the second year you have to answer a lot of questions as well as ask a lot of questions. But you know, I'm going to get Christ answers from them now instead of them trying to struggle to give me the answers. So that's going to be a challenge to me to try to keep ahead of them, because they'll be so full of revelation and so full of truth. I mean, they always try it on, you know. Every year it's the same. They say, well, because somebody came to you and said so-and-so and so-and-so, what would you say to them? And some clever bod always says, ask Colin. But who knows, that's not the right answer. You have the right answer inside you, if you have the Spirit inside you. Amen. Doesn't matter what situation you're in, you've got the answer inside you. And Jesus says, when you don't know how what to speak, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. Is this good or is this good? It's just trusting Him and not yourself. Praise God. So all we have to do now, my friends, is do it. And you see, you don't do it in the meeting. You do it in between the meetings. This is when you put it into practice. And God has what I call his prodding stick. In Italian, they've got a lovely word for this. It's pungolo. I love that word, pungolo. It's so expressive of what actually happens. His prodding stick is when he allows somebody to do something to you that annoys you. You know, like tickling you in the ribs or something like that. It's his prodding stick just to see if you're alive or he's alive in you by the way you react. You see, when we've got time to assess everything and to decide what to do, we know the right thing is to trust in him. But it's not our actions that find us out, but it's our reactions. And so, you know, God gets his little pungolo out and we just get a little I thought you had died to yourself. Do you know what he said to me? Do you know what she said to me? He took the last roast potato and I was going to have it. It can be little things. It can be more important things. But he's just teaching us to trust him and not self. Now, we'll just finish with this. The more yielded a person is to Christ, the more he would trust Christ. The more yielded and the more he trusts, the more God can use that person. So, in your future, how is God going to use you? All depends on how fully surrendered you are to him and how fully you trust him. When I was at college, I was the one that sat in the corner and said nothing. Because I was sort of too intimidated, really. But I listened and I worked things out. And I'm not suggesting you sit in a corner and say nothing. That's not the right thing to do. But you see, what God was working in me, even in those years, was the ability to trust him, because I knew there wasn't anything in me worth trusting. See, I got baptized in the Spirit in 1963 when I was still at college. Never even heard of, wouldn't even have understood the phrase, wouldn't have known that's what had happened. Never knew anybody who had ever experienced that, because at that time very few people were in the churches. And I didn't know any of them. But that all came about because I was due to be ordained in a few months' time, and I shut myself away in the college chapel when I knew the college was empty. Everybody else was there. I was about the only one there, and I wouldn't be disturbed. And I was convinced, and I'm not joking, I'm not exaggerating, I was convinced that God calling me to be ordained was the first mistake he had ever made in his long career. I was convinced, Lord, you have chosen the wrong one. I mean, I find it so difficult to make relationships, so difficult to do, you know, all the things that I would have to do as a minister. And I just got before God and I said, Lord, I can only go through with this if you do something. And what he did was to physically breathe his spirit into me. I mean, physically it happened. It doesn't always happen, but it did with me. And I found myself speaking this strange language. Didn't have a clue. I mean, I'd studied 1 Corinthians in the Greek text for my finals. So I knew what speaking in tongues was, but didn't realize that this was it, because I'd never heard of anybody who spoke in tongues. But that event changed me, because from that moment I knew that despite my weakness and my own personal feelings, I could go through with it. And you see, within a few weeks of being ordained, I saw my first miracle. A woman being healed of terminal bowel cancer. Never seen or heard of anybody being healed miraculously like that. God was introducing me to his ways. I'd been brought up, you see, in a religious system that was operating over here, like most religious systems do. He was showing me how to walk and to live in the Spirit. That was a process that took 6.5 years until, boom, suddenly the revival started when I went to Luton. But you see, we all have to go on a journey with the Lord, where we learn there is another way, there is a better way. And actually we can live that better way, that new way, that victorious way, that Christ way, that spiritual way, because of what he has already done and because of what he has already given us. We don't have to wait for something to happen. You've already been filled with the Holy Spirit, so now you live the new life, the victorious life, the overcoming life, the Christ life, the Holy Spirit life. And when you live that, God won't improve over what's over there. He will replace it with his life. His crown of glory. His garment of praise. His robe of righteousness. Clothed with Christ. Filled with Christ by the Holy Spirit. Living in Christ. Bearing much fruit for his glory. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Right, just say this. Goodbye, failure. I welcome victory and success. Hallelujah. Now the scripture says he gives you the victory. You see, you fail when you try. You get the victory when you let him give you the victory. So just raise your hands and thank him that the scripture says he gives you the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, just be still. Keep in prayer, but just be still. What is it in your life that you have been trying to change? Something about yourself you've been struggling with, you've been straining, striving, probably praying about it, feeling that again and again you fail. That makes you feel bad, brings you into false condemnation. Well, just bring that thing to mind now. And tell the Lord, I give up. I've done everything I can, Lord, to change this thing in my life. And I can't. And I recognize that I can't. But I believe this morning you give me the victory. Now, when you believe he gives you the victory, just raise your hands and thank him for the victory. Thank you, Lord, I don't have to struggle with that thing anymore. Thank you that I don't have to suffer defeat anymore. I've acknowledged I can't. I've placed the thing in your hands. And I know, Lord, that it's not for me to take them back again to myself. It's not for me to worry about that anymore, because if I worry about it anymore, I've taken it back to myself. So as far as I'm concerned, I've surrendered this to you. I've surrendered this matter to you. And I can't do it. You can. And I believe that you give me the victory in this area of my life. And I praise you for that victory, Lord. I thank you that now I'm going to manifest that victory, not failure and defeat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can it be that simple after all those months of struggling? Well, how can it be any more difficult when it's God? It can't be any more difficult when it's God, you see. It's difficult when you try to do it, but it can't be difficult when God does it. So just thank him that for him, everything is easy. Everything is simple and straightforward for God. Praise you, Jesus. Soto parazata pakaya. Boparazata pariazatuba. Baralala bazotu di satari elera bakarasitaba. Now, if the enemy tempts you to go back and take that matter into your own hands, you just say no. You take the shield of faith against him, which quenches all the fiery darts of evil one. Say, no, it's got nothing to do with me anymore. That is the Lord's. Hallelujah. I have given that issue to the Lord, and I have the victory, and I speak the victory. I proclaim the victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now thank the Lord for his prodding stick. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to prod me and show me any ways in which I still trust myself instead of trusting Christ. I thank you for that, Lord. I welcome that so that I can learn to trust you in all things. So that I will not only act in the way that you want me to in Christ, but I will react as one who lives in Christ. Come on, thank him. Praise you, Jesus. Just remain in prayer and just listen to this scripture. Those who live according to their own natural desires are always intent on getting what they want for themselves. That is their focus. But those who truly want to please God by being led by his Spirit make him their focus. Excuse me. sinful thinking leads to spiritual death. But to allow your life to be under the control of the Holy Spirit will result in sharing in God's life and knowing His peace. Sinful thinking is totally against God's will. Such attitudes show there is no submission to Him and His purposes, for you cannot serve God while your mind is full of sinful, selfish thoughts. That would suggest that you were being controlled by your desires, not His. However, this is not the case with you. You are not under the control of selfish, sinful desires because you have surrendered, you have surrendered your life to God to be under the power and influence of His Spirit who actually lives in you. You would not be a Christian at all if you did not possess the Holy Spirit. But because His Spirit is in you, Christ is in you. Your body will still crave for self-indulgence, yet your spirit has now been brought to life by His Spirit, so that in your heart you want to do what is right before God. This Spirit who lives in you is the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. If He could do that, then He is certainly able to give God's life to your natural bodies because His Spirit lives in you. This means that you no longer are obliged to obey your sinful desires, my brothers. To do that would lead to spiritual death. Now you have God's Spirit in you, enabling you to rule over any lingering sinful desires to indulge your fleshly instincts. So the Spirit enables you to enjoy real life, not death. You see, those who live as God's sons are happy to be led as God's Spirit, by God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank the Lord for His word. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We're just going to finish with a victory song this morning. Are you ready?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.